like to read just a few of those verses again from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, as we get our minds centered on where we are going today. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. This is the word of the Lord, and we can trust it. We are now at the midpoint of the Lenten season, and today's scriptures seem to be placed exactly where they are to remind us of our dependence on God, but also to remind us of our own free will. In other words, God created the universe to be dependent on Him, but He also gave us the ability to go our own way if that's the way we choose. And I'm hopeful that all of you today realize that God's plan is always better than ours. And so although going our own way is one option, it is certainly not the best option. And I might also add that many of us who proclaim to be believers go our own way quite often. We might believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we don't always do such a great job of following Him. Well, the church at Corinth was a great example of that kind of belief. And so Paul wrote many letters to many churches, but the longest letters and the most often written letters were to that church in Corinth. And regardless of what he said about anything, the only message he ever proclaimed was Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of all. That was truly his only message. And in all of that, he shared his own story about how he had at one time persecuted and even killed Christians. But when he became reconciled to God, he realized that there was only one way to show that love of God and to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. He somehow became a new person in all of that. Now, a lot of people stop after they get past that the old has gone and the new is here, but actually, I believe the meat of this passage comes after that. So listen to these words again. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting the people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And so we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might in him become the righteousness of God. Now, sometimes we think that word righteousness means holier than thou. We misuse that word so much. It doesn't mean anything like that. The righteousness of God really means living in a relationship with God that leads us to become more like Him by loving ourselves and others as He loves us. And so Paul is saying that God sent Jesus to call us back, to reconcile us to God's self, so that we might share a relationship with Him that is not burdened down by human ideas such as judgment, accomplishments, or committee and community position. And notice that God is reconciling the world to Him. It's not the other way around. God is constantly calling us back to Him, to be more like God. God has not started saying, if you can't beat them, join them. Although that is what some of us wish God would say. God is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. God is not the one who is expected to change, although many of us in today's society really believe that God is the one who should change, and we're almost hoping that God is going to finally come to his senses after all of this time and see that the human way is the better way. That will never be true. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So God is reconciling us to him so that we might be ambassadors. And you know, ambassadors are people who leave their own country to go someplace else. God is reconciling us to himself that we might be ambassadors to teach the rest of the world this way of living. That word reconcile, you know, the prefix re means what? The kids in confirmation know this. What does re mean? Someone holler it out. Again, good job. Re means again. That root word con in Spanish, if you know Spanish, con is what? Con, which means with. God is gathering us with him again. So when we have reconciliation to look at, that means that a break has gone somewhere. It's not the first time we've broken and separated ourselves from God, but God calls us again and again and again to come back to live as he has taught us. Basically, this passage is saying that when we accept Jesus as Lord of our lives, we become new people. People not in the world, but people in Christ. Now, I have this really elegant display over here today. Let's look at it for a minute. I've got a plastic bottle. I've got a kind of a thin plastic bowl. I've got this pretty heavy plastic. See, when you can hear how heavy this plastic is. I've got notebook paper in both of these places. I've got computer paper. Jerry was very happy to know that I had newsprint with me today. And also this really, really hard plastic. Rhett, are you ready to show us some of these pictures? So plastic bottles and hard plastic are recycled. You know what recycling is, right? They are recycled into something else. They're made new. So in plastic milk and juice bottles, we can get plastic lumber, decking, docks, etc., play sets, new bottles. Plastic detergent bottles, that's that heavy one over there. We can get buckets and containers and frisbees. We all love frisbees. And stadium seats. Look at the next one. From newspaper, we can get telephone directories, egg cartons, building insulation, construction paper, berry boxes, paperboard, kitty litter, who knew? Sheetrock, paper plates, countertops, and oh, new newspaper. What else do we have? Notebook paper. Notebook paper is made into facial tissue. We call it Kleenex. Toilet paper and, oh, computer paper. Computer paper is made into paper towels, napkins, and notebook paper. And what's the last? One more. Plastic beverage bottles. Who knew? They can turn into carpet and backpacks, polar fleece, sleeping bags, and ski jacket insulation. It's going to make you think twice when it's cold and you have to put on some heavy wear. And what's our last one? Oh, I didn't bring a tire. But tires can be turned into shoes. They can be turned into tracks where athletes run. It helps them bounce a little bit, and it's not so hard on their joints. The whole point of this is to say that God can recycle us. It's like holy recycling. When we are turned from one thing into another without losing the essence of who we are. God reconciles us to himself. Now, nowadays, we see recycling. Some people make an argument that it's to help the environment, and some people make an argument that it's to have personal responsibility. I see recycling as one thing only, to avoid waste. We think we invented it. People have been recycling for centuries, just in different ways. But when God recycles us, He honors His commitment not to waste any of us. It is not God's desire that any of us be wasted, be thrown aside as of no use to anyone else. God sent Jesus to recycle us. We are all redeemable, and Jesus came to redeem each of us. And as recycled people, we're called to teach others about recycling as well. We're called to teach all people that no one should go to waste, and that in fact, Jesus came to make sure that no one would go to waste. So once we've been recycled or created as new people, it is our mission to learn the art of holy recycling, becoming reconciled to God. So what does all that mean? Well, God created the world to live harmoniously and to live by depending on God. You know that short little passage from Joshua today? You probably missed that little tiny hidden verse in there, verse 11. Verse 11 talks about the fact that when they camped and as they were ready to go into the promised land, for the first time, the people did not eat manna. They had been eating manna for generations, but they finally got to a place where they were still the same people, but they were new creations, and they were able to eat from what the land gave them. They were new creations. And it also reminds us that there is such a thing as generational non-reconciliation. I made up that term, I have to say. But the fact is, many of us have learned to hold on to grudges and to avoid reconciliation because we have learned that behavior from other humans. Today's gospel lesson, which we did not read, is about the prodigal son. About a boy who leaves home and finds out that it wasn't so great to leave home and becomes reconciled with God so that he can come back home and reconcile with his family. And the father, who is wronged a lot, is the only one who comes to greet him with open arms and in celebration. The older son refuses to even acknowledge his presence, because the older son is still unable to reconcile to God and therefore to reconcile to his own brother. It reminds us that we have to be reconciled to God before we can ever reconcile to any human beings. Those who become new creations in Christ are the only ones who can even possibly consider what reconciliation really, really is. Means. And that's because it starts right here, right in our hearts. You might see taped to some of the pews little hearts that look like this. These are little hearts that the kids colored this week at Wonderful Wednesday, and Lynn brought them in here to put them around as little love notes to the congregation, and they were supposed to hide them. Most of them were just kind of hidden up here in plain sight. And so I put some of them down there, but there's a couple right here that they did hide pretty well. This one says, "Good news, God loves you." We are teaching our children to love as God loves, to leave little love notes around, to remind people that God loves them, and to remind the children that they are loved and that in turn they love others. We are created in God's image, and God's nature is to love unconditionally. And if we can't accept that, how can we possibly offer that kind of love to other people? God loves us so much that despite our willing disobedience, despite our inability to accept ourselves, despite our need to blame others for our difficulties, that God loves us anyway. But when we stay mired in the human understanding that someone else is at fault in a relationship, we can never become new creations. We can't possibly be recycled, that is, not wasted, unless we offer ourselves up to be reshaped and to be molded into people who can be okay with looking and acting differently because we know the saving grace of God. At its very root, reconciliation is about learning to live by God's design, not by ours. Christ became sin so that we could become God's righteousness. In other words, God took our sin away so that we could quit worrying about sin and instead focus on the love that is offered through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Allowing another person's sin to stand in the way of our relationship with God hurts us more than it hurts that other person. When we refuse to forgive others because they don't deserve to be forgiven, we are choosing to use the human standard of relationship, and we are willfully separating ourselves from God. Lent gives us space to become more like Jesus. These 40 days help us remember that God is reconciling us to Him, reconciling us to His plan of unconditional love and forgiveness. It is true that our sinfulness is always before us. But even our sinfulness is not stronger than God's love. Focus on that. Focus on the fact that God loves all of us just the way we are. Do you believe that? God loves every one of us just the way we are. It's hard to believe sometimes, but it is a truth that you can count on. And God will never give up on us, even as He tries to pull us closer to Him. God will make us new creations through reconciliation, to coming together again. It is God's desire that not one of us be wasted. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.